Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Some of you may have drifted off during that scripture reading because it doesn't seem to have a lot to do with us, but I think, in fact, it does. Not all itches are worthy of being scratched. Not all desires are worthy of being acted upon. And we quickly come to harm when we see what I want as the ultimate good. Now, there's an old joke about a mother watching her overweight son or teenage son stuffing food into his mouth. And the mom says, "Timmy, if you have one more piece of pie, you will explode." Well, the son just grins and says, "Well, Mom, please pass the pie and stand back." Timmy is saying, forget the consequences. This tastes good, and I'm going to continue to eat as much of it as I want, no matter what. I know bad things may happen, but I don't care. I'm going to keep on eating because it tastes good, and I want it. Donald Miller, in his book, Blue Like Jazz, confesses that the most difficult lie he has to contend with is this. The lie is this: life is a story about me. We live in a time when an individual's desire has been raised to the highest good, and that translates to, I'll do what I want. My sister used to substitute teach in middle school, and she said she constantly heard that mantra from children who really did not have the life experience to know what they wanted or what was wise to do. Well, from middle school to midlife crisis, and all in between, we see people acting out, I'll do what I want, often to their own hurt and to the hurt of friends and family, when what they want is destructive, is self-centered, is wasteful, or unwise. Boundaries and consequences are learned the hard way in every generation, and you and I know we have learned them, but something within us from the story of Genesis on down fights that reality and strives to breach every boundary and to ignore every consequence of doing what I want. Paul said very pointedly to the Christian community in Corinth in the 6th chapter, he was saying, okay, you are forgiven people and you are beloved people. You are fellow Christians, and I'll agree with what you're saying up to a point. You have freedom in Christ. But in the 6th chapter, verse 12, he says, all things are lawful for me. I can, I could, I am free to do what I want. But then he figures a second part into it. He says, but not all things are helpful. I can do what I want, but not all things I want are helpful. And that's an understatement. Again, he says, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything. I could do some things that just might enslave me. Let me translate that into more modern language. Paul is saying, I will not let God's love of me and my love of myself turn me into a fool, using my freedom and forgiveness as an excuse to do unwise, unhealthy, harmful things. It may be lawful and still have the consequence of destruction or addiction or distortion of my life and my relationship with others. Whatever it is, it may be technically lawful and legal, but I should notice on the way in that others before me have been hurt, enslaved, addicted, warped by the same ride that I'm in line for. It would be unwise of me to stand in that line for my own hurt. If you notice that whole passage I read, he's saying, some of you think you're pretty smart, but you cannot escape the consequences of misuse of your freedom. Not everything you want to do is helpful. Now, let me give some examples. Some examples that will make us squirm just a little, but I feel I must. Casual sex outside of a covenant relationship is one of those unwise behaviors filled with consequences. As a pastor over 26 years, I have seen some with lingering disease and death, unwanted pregnancy, abortion, broken family relationships, a coarsening of character, and in one case, a murder-suicide. When the intensity of the emotions after a breakup pushed a young boy beyond his breaking point. Alcohol is another. I know full well that some people can drink just a little and not very often and seem unharmed. And some cannot drink just a little and cannot drink just occasionally and they are harmed and their family with them. It is lawful, but not really helpful. It is lawful to drink, but as Paul warns, do not be enslaved by anything. Think how you use your freedom. Drugs have wonderful curative powers and can ease our pain after injury or surgery, but the truth is, without boundaried use of so many a day for so many days, for a legitimate purpose, without those boundaries, the same helpful drugs become poison and can enslave us. I have not served a single church without having a member or two addicted to pain pills following a surgery or an injury. Their use in the beginning is legitimate, then they are used for fun, then they become addiction or slavery. Then doing what you want is no longer an option. Then you do what you have to do just to make it through the day. Illicit drugs are even worse, and the consequences are worse, and the warnings even sterner. But people unwisely start down that path thinking somehow what happens to everyone else will not happen to me. The ubiquitous availability of pornography on the internet has taken natural desire into harmful, dehumanizing places. Again, in the past 10 years since the internet has been so available, at least a few church members have done what they wanted in that regard until they no longer had the freedom not to. You fill in the blanks. It could be money, it could be clothes, it could be cars or antiques or shopping or credit card bills. There's so many things. But no one is truly free to do what they want. What seems like freedom is often trading one form of bondage for another. True freedom comes from giving ourselves to God. We come to understand when we give ourselves to God that our behavior matters. God opens our eyes to that. Our behavior matters not only to God, but our behavior impacts other people around us. What we do is permission giving to others who look up to us. And I remember reading a quote a few years ago from Charles Barkley, the NBA star, and he said, "I am not a role model." Well, whether he likes it or not, he's in the public eye and he is a role model. And whether any of us like it or not, there are people, some people who look up to us. Our peers, our spouse, our children, our grandchildren, someone. And maybe we can handle some things that our weaker friends and family cannot. Should we limit our freedom because of their weakness? Paul says yes. Our current culture, which worships the individual, says that that's an outrageous thought to limit your freedom because of someone else. Our culture says, don't dare suggest that I should limit doing what I want because of some weaker soul. But you know, the minute we give ourselves to God and begin a journey of faith, that same minute God sends us out to others. Our faith community is all about building a loving and caring community. And let me just ask it another way, the way I think Jesus would ask it. Are you your brother's keeper? Are you your sister's keeper? The answer is yes. And that is Paul's point in today's idol meet encounter. That's what he's talking about. Corinth was a pagan city. Christians were a distinct minority, and almost all of the meat that would be sold in the market had been offered first and butchered and offered to an idol. Christians know that idols are nothing, less than nothing, and so there's no harm, no real affront to God by merely buying in the market and eating some of this meat that had been offered to a big zero of an idol. Paul says, I know there's really no harm, and I'm smart enough to understand that. And that all reminds me of one of my very favorite puns. I have told it this morning, it didn't go over. I told it 2 years ago, it didn't go over. I'm giving y'all one last chance. One of my favorite puns. Did you hear about the sociologists who discovered this primitive tribe in New Guinea who worshipped the number zero? He was heard to remark, "Is nothing sacred?" Paul wrote that no one's faith, nor conscience, nor relationship with God could really be damaged by the mere eating of idle meat. But then he took a surprising turn in logic. Paul took a turn toward the love of neighbor in a way that cost him and cost others to limit their freedom for the sake of another weaker brother or sister. He said that even though eating that meat, it doesn't really matter, it does not harm me, but he said, I will not eat it if it may damage the conscience of a weaker brother or sister, a conscience of a weaker brother or sister in faith. They are on the line, maybe. They're on the fence. They're emotionally unsure. It might damage their faith, their growth in God. So even though Paul says, I know it's not going to harm me, I will stop doing it out of love for my weaker brethren. Now, this is the principle that ties it together. We can coexist. In fact, we do coexist, like it or not, with drugs, pornography, alcohol abuse, gambling, and a myriad of other addictions and behaviors all around us. It's not until that poison enters our bodies and our psyches that it could make us ill or damaged or dead. And some people seem to be immune to flirting with those things. But certain things, even if they don't seem to harm me personally, could make other folks wish they were dead. I'll give you an example of this is a practical example that actually happened to me. When I was about 11 years old, I found out, because all of us were walking in short pants through the woods, I found out that poison ivy just did not affect me. I remember very distinctly because we did it on a Saturday. Everybody else stayed home covered in calamine lotion, and I had to go to church. I didn't have any reaction to the poison ivy. And then I did a really terrible, evil thing, and I'm sorry I did this, but I was 11, and I was 11. My cousins came to visit. I took them on a hike through the same poison ivy patch. I came out without the slightest itch, and you know, my cousins went home covered in calamine lotion. I understand that allergies can change over time, and I have not tested my immunity lately, but at least that was true back then. And that's a perfect example of the truth of what does not harm me may afflict my brother or sister horribly. And that's what Paul is talking about. When you're considering what you want to do, consider the boundary of love. Consider how what you want and how you live and what you do affects other people. Your life is not just about you. Our faith is in a man who gave himself for others. As we live, consider how your behavior affects others. Consider what the cross says about love limiting freedom. Love God. Love your neighbor, Jesus said, and you do well. Do well.